Psalm 49. And I was saying to Lynn while we were driving over this morning about this 49th Psalm, it is so timeless. All the scriptures are, but this Psalm 49 seems like it was written for today. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings that could not be known unless I made them known upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, what they have, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls, their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid to the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But now this is his answer to what he says in verse 5, why should I fear in the days of evil? But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry away nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see light. Man that is an honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. That's God's word. Like the beasts that perish. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and how we desire that you would speak, that you would deliver us from hearing the words, thoughts, and opinions of a sinful man, but that you would speak from your word, and that you would reveal thy Son to our hearts. Now, Lord, bless us for the Lord's sake. Forgive us of our sins for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, be with us. Make yourself known. We pray for those that are going through difficult times, trials of mind, body, We pray for your blessing upon them. We pray for our friends that aren't here, that you'd keep them by your grace. We pray for your gospel wherever it's preached. Now, Lord, meet with us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, let's read this 20th verse. I want to kind of use that as the introduction to this psalm. Man that is in honor and understands not is no different than a beast that perishes. Now that's God's word, not mine. And that almost sounds harsh, doesn't it? But that's what God says. Man that is in honor. Now, you know people who you admire, people who are not believers, but you've admired them. They've done well for themselves. They've made certain achievements that you admire. You may admire many things about them. They're an honor. There are a lot of people like that. Man that's in honor, that is well thought of, that is well respected. Is there anybody that you work with that you respect? Man that's in honor. That's not speaking harshly of that. But that man that doesn't understand, he doesn't have the fear of God, is what that means. He has no understanding of who God is. He has no interest in who God is. He has no understanding of how God saves sinners. He's a man that's in honor, but yet he understands not. This is God's testimony. He's like a beast that's cut off, an animal. Now that's God's testimony. I know some people may say, well, are you saying that about men? No, God's saying it. Big difference in there. This is what God says. Now let's look at this psalm and see what made him say this. Hear this, all ye people. Now this is a message that everybody in the world needs to hear. And that's who it's addressed to. Everybody in the world. And I think this is important to remember. Sometimes we think, well, the Bible's addressed to believers, or the Bible's addressed to unbelievers. No, it's just addressed to men. Men, all together. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying, the enigma, upon the harp, that which cannot be known unless I make it known. I'm going to make it known right now. Now that ought to interest us, shouldn't it? This is what God says, and he tells everyone to listen. This is what Jesus Christ the Lord says. And he says, give me your ear. I'm going to give you that which is important. And you know, when I think of something like that, I've just been oppressed the last couple of days thinking about claiming to be God's spokesman. That is difficult when I think of who I am and when I think of my own insufficiency and my own inability. And here I am claiming to be speaking for God. Oh, pray for me. I covet your prayer. I need his mercy. But here, the psalmist, I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking first. He's saying, listen to me, and I'm going to make known that which is dark, that which you wouldn't know unless I make it known. This is what is truly important. Now, he makes this statement, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. Now, first of all, that's the Lord speaking. He's the one whose heel was bruised by the serpent. And he says, why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? But this is also David speaking. And he's talking about the evil days of judgment, when all my iniquities are going to be encompassing me. They're going to be brought up to me when I'm getting ready to stand before God in judgment. Now, I want you to think about that. The iniquity of your heels compassing you about, and here you're getting ready to stand before God, because you've got plenty of iniquity, don't you? I've got plenty of iniquity. Plenty of things that I'm ashamed of. Plenty of things I wouldn't want you to know about. And you've got plenty of things you wouldn't want me to know about. But everything is going to be brought to light at that time. Now, with that in mind, David said, why should I fear? David, why would you even say that? Well, you're going to hear why you have no reason to fear, even when the iniquity of your heels that you're conscious of are brought out at the thought of standing before God in judgment. Now, he says, they, verse 6, they that trust in what they have, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Oh, I've got this, I've got that. My good outweighs my bad. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Their riches cannot pay the price. They that trust in wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. I think of the people saying, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Why? In your name, we've cast out demons. In your name, we've done many wonderful works. They had a lot of wealth, didn't they? A lot of things they recommended themselves with. We've done this, we've done that. And what is the Lord going to say? Then shall I say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Now, what a terrifying thought. These people who think, well, I've got plenty. My good outweighs the bad. I'm going to be okay. Well, what's he say to them? He said in verse 7, none of them, not one, can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for them. No man can redeem himself, or his brother. Now remember this thing of redemption. The only way I can stand on that evil day is if I'm redeemed. Redeemed. Oh, that's a word that is so precious. Christ redeeming me. The only way I can stand before God in judgment is if Christ has redeemed me. How does that sound to you? You agree? The only way I can stand before God in judgment is if Christ by himself. I love that scripture, Hebrews 1:3. When he had by himself, that means no contribution from me. I didn't have any hand in this. When he by himself purged our sins. Those iniquities that compass me about, he purged them. He put them away. They're not. That's the only way I'm going to be able to stand on that evil day. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. There's nothing you can do to give God a ransom that's sufficient for him. Sin, every sin, all sin, is infinitely evil. And none of us understand that. But it's so. sins against God. And this sin that you and I are guilty of, it's not just lying to get out of trouble. Everybody's done that. It's murdering the Son of God. Now that's the sin that God holds you and me responsible for. Is there anything you can do that would make satisfaction for that? No. Not in any way. The redemption of their soul is precious. The blood of Christ, most precious. The scripture speaks of the precious blood of Christ. Oh, how precious is his blood. And it ceases forever. It's a one-time offering. It's over. It ceases. And the best thing that me and you could do is what the writer to the Hebrews said to do. He that's entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works. That's the best thing me and you could do. I'm trying to live the Christian life. Stop it. Stop it. Cease from your own works and enter into his rest. Verse 9, that he should live forever and not see corruption. You see, if you're redeemed, you're going to live forever. And I mean life before God, the life of God in your soul. And you're never going to see corruption. You're going to live forever in perfect likeness to Christ. Beloved, I wish every one of us would just be looking forward to dying. Looking forward to it. Best day of my life be the day of my death. When I see him as he is. And I have no iniquity to even feel guilty about. I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. To me, that is the most mysterious. I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. Everybody here ought to, if you're in Christ, when's my day coming? When's my day coming? 4, he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and they leave their wealth to others. They have this wealth they're trusting in. All they do is leave it to somebody else. Their inward thought is, verse 11, that their houses shall continue forever. And their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands by their own names. Isn't that stupid? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, this part's mine. No, it's not. You're a tenant subject to immediate eviction at any time. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Well, that I'm going to call that by my name. Well, that is humorous. And that's what men do. Nevertheless, even though men think their riches, what they have is sufficient to make them accepted before God, nevertheless, and this is what he said in verse 20, he repeats it in verse 20, nevertheless man, being in honor, a man that does well for himself. A man that contributes to society. A man that you would admire for the things that he has done. And there are people like that. You know, really, we ought to be, every one of us, beginning here, we ought to show respect to everybody. They're men. Show respect to everybody. Every time I act disrespectful or feel disrespectful towards someone, I'm wrong. This is not talking about making fun of their honor or treating with contempt their honor. But that one who, being in honor, he abides not. He's like beasts that perish. Now, it's because he doesn't understand who God is. He's going to say that in verse 20. But that man, no matter how much he achieves in this life, the Lord said, "If what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul?" What should a man give in exchange for his soul? This life is so fleeting. It's so temporary. It's not even a blip. Verse 13. This their way of salvation by works, their way of salvation through what they have done, through what they have, this their way is their folly. It's crazy. It is foolish. There is a way, the wise man said, that seemeth right to a man. It's the way we naturally think. The end thereof are the ways of death. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve of their sayings. We agree with that. Now we pass our foolishness down to our posterity. And our posterity approves of what we're saying. Men are just blind when it comes to the things of God. Everything we think is wrong. Chew on that for a second. Everything we think naturally about God is wrong. Verse 14, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright, that is every believer, every man that is upright in Christ, righteous by Christ, justified, shall have dominion over them in the morning. We're in the night right now. Morning's coming. And the upright shall have dominion over them, and their beauty, the things that they thought were so valuable, shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Everything that they hold valuable, highly esteemed, is going to consume in the grave. But, now here's his answer as to why I'm not going to fear when the iniquity of my heels compasses me about. Here's the only reason. Now get this. This is the only reason. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Now I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 3. Hold your finger there. We'll come back to Psalm 49, but Romans chapter 3. I want to look at the last phrase of verse 22. For there is no difference. The man who has done well for himself and has contributed to society, and the man who is a street person, who makes no contribution to society, one who is just overcome with whatever, before God, there is no difference. You take the most moral man and the most immoral man. Before God, there is no difference. And if I think there is, it shows how little I know of God and how little I know of the sinfulness of every man. There is no difference. I hope we all believe that. It's so whether we believe it or not. There is no difference. And here's why. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's what sin is. It's coming short of the divine glory of God. Being, verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Remember how I said God will redeem my soul? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I wish it wasn't this way, but when people think of a redemption story, they think about how someone has been bad and they've turned things around, maybe through people's help, but they've turned things around and they've redeemed their life. That ain't redemption. Doesn't have anything to do with what redemption means. Now, listen to the words of this verse of Scripture I just read. Now remember, there's no difference between any man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all on that level, down at the bottom, all of us. Don't think that you have anything that can recommend you to God to redeem your soul. We're all down here. Down here. Being justified. Justification means that you don't have any sin. If somebody's justified, that means they're not guilty, right? Not guilty. They didn't do it. When the judge pronounces somebody justified, that means he didn't do it. He's not guilty. Now, that's the state I want to be before God, not guilty. Being justified, the next word is freely. Now, get that word freely. Freely, that means there's absolutely nothing you do to achieve or earn this. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. You know, we've never experienced anything like that in life, have we? Hadn't happened. Hadn't happened. But here it does. No strings attached. Being justified freely by His grace. Now, the only way I'm going to be justified is if it's an act of God's grace. Through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And here's how that works, verse 25, whom God hath set forth, and that word set forth means foreordained. Foreordained. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now that's a word that's not used much in our day. Propitiation. If you talked about a propitiation at work Monday, somebody said, "What? What are you talking about?" Well, I want to know, don't you? Propitiation is a sin-removing sacrifice. And that's what Christ did. He removed and made not to be the sin of His people. And that's how I can stand with my iniquity of my heels compassing me about and not fear judgment because of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ in my behalf only. Now that's how that works. Now let's go back to our text in Psalm 49. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. The God of glory shall receive, shall embrace, shall welcome me as one fit to be in heaven. He shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich and the glory of his house is increased. He must be doing something right. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. How much did he leave? Everything. Everything. When he dieth, he shall carry away nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. Living the dream. And you know, men will praise you when you do well to yourself. When you see someone that does well, that achieves, that is whatever doing well is in this life, people praise you for it. They'll pat you on the back, say, you're a good guy. You've done well. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see light. Outer darkness is one of the descriptions. And I don't know what all hell is. It scares me. I don't know what all I know, but one of the descriptions is darkness, though. He's never going to see light. And then he makes this concluding statement, man that is in honor and understands not. He has no understanding of God, has no desire to know God, has no understanding of how God redeems sinners by his grace. He's like a beast. He's like a beast. He's like an animal that perishes. Now that's God's description. He's no different than an animal. Somebody that doesn't love God, they're like a beast that perishes. And this is not speaking harshly. It's just speaking as God says. And really, the beast that perishes is better off than the man who perishes with no understanding. That beast's existence is over. That man who is in honor and understands not, his existence goes on forever in a place he does not want to be. Amen. It is a timeless psalm.